I want to talk this morning on the understanding that you've got to serve before you sit. You've got to serve before you sit. And the Lord is at a banquet, and he takes note of how people want to grab some honors for themselves. They're looking to sit high. They're looking to sit up at the places of honor. And the Lord warns them. He warns them. Now, let's keep in mind that we're at a banquet. It's called the Kingdom of God. And the Lord is also teaching us that as we come to this banquet of the Kingdom of God, that we also need to be careful about pride and about our tendency to want honors, but not really to serve. Because in the Kingdom of God, the highest honor is to serve. Let's see what the Lord does here with this. I first of all want you to notice that we'll take a look at this gospel in three parts. And the first part is simply, I want you to notice the person who honors. The person who honors. The Lord says, look, when you go to a wedding feast, and we've been to wedding feasts, and as informal as we become in our culture about most things, wedding feasts are still fairly formal, and you don't just walk into a wedding reception and just usually pick your own seat. Usually you go to the table, and they have a little card that tells you the table number that you're supposed to sit at. Amen? Now, if you and I were to walk into a wedding feast and go right up and sit at the head table, that would not only be rude, but it would be pompous, because that's for the wedding party, amen? And so, in a wedding feast, it is the host who assigns the seats. The couple, if you will, has thought about this ahead of time, and they know that Uncle Anthony doesn't get along with Aunt Susan, and so they're going to keep them at separate tables, all right? And they're usually going to put the priest with the hard of hearing grandmother and put him right there. And no, but brothers and sisters, it is the host who assigns the seats at a wedding feast. Amen. Now, again, in the Kingdom of God, it is the host who assigns us our place. Now, a lot of us, though, want to walk into the Kingdom of God and say, I've decided where I'm going to sit, and I've decided what I'm going to do. And brothers and sisters, it is the Lord who assigns us our seat, our place, our role in the Kingdom of God. It is God's job to do that. It's our job to pray, to listen, and to discern what place God has for us in the kingdom of heaven and in the kingdom of God. Now, a couple thoughts on this, a couple quotes. There was a debate among the apostles about who of them was the greatest. And the Lord said to those apostles, he says, it is I who assign to you a kingdom. It is I who assign you a place so that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. It is I who assign you this place. One day, James and John came up and they wanted the seats of honor. They said, hey, teacher, please guarantee us that when you come into your kingdom, that we'll have the seat at the right and we'll have the seat at the left. In other words, the seats of honor. And what does the Lord say to them? You can drink, you'll drink the cup that I drink from, but as for seats at my right and my left, that is not mine to give, but rather the Father has already assigned those seats. Are you praying with me, brothers and sisters? You see, in God's kingdom, if you go to a wedding party, it's the host who assigns the seats. If you come to the wedding feast of the Lamb, which is the kingdom of God, God assigns each of us our place. But you see, too many of us just want to assign ourselves. And so again, the task for you and for me is to say, Lord, what is the role that you have for me in the kingdom? What job, what place, what role, what talents have you given me? See? Now, again, what happens to a lot of us, though, is that, you know, we sort of fall into this false notion of comparing ourselves to others. Now, there's an old saying in 12-step programs, and if any of you have been to 12-step, you'll probably be familiar with this. It says, to compare is to despair. To compare is to despair. Do not compare yourself to someone else. Don't look at, say, well, wait a minute here. I got a seat in the orchestra, and someone got a seat, and that makes me great, and someone had to go up in the balcony. They're not so great. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. Because, you see, you and I do not see and know as God sees and God knows. Now, in our culture, we think that we have sort of things that we want to be. I want to be rich. You see, that's what it means to be blessed, to be rich. But God warns about riches, doesn't he? He says how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. So you see, we say that the rich are the ones who have the honors, and they have all the glory, and they have all the fun. And God says, in my eyes, it's not that simple. Too often we think, well, why didn't I get all the good looks? My sister got the good looks, or my brother, he got all the brains, and we compare ourselves, don't we? And God has a role for us, and he gave me certain gifts that he did not give to my brother, and he gave my brother some gifts that he did not give to me. It is God who decides these things. And so the question for us is to accept that God assigns a place for us. He gives us certain talents. And don't compare and say someone's better because they're taller than I am, or they're more thin than I am, or they have more money than I have. Don't do that. God has a seat for you and me right where we need to be, right where we are in all of our glory, in all of our honor. God has a place for us, and it's our place, and no one can take our place. Are you praying with me? Do not set up, and we're going to look at this in more detail in a minute, but do not set up false understandings of what is honorable and what is less honorable. Because we're going to see that God has the whole thing upside down from the way we think about it. Amen? God is not impressed with the things that we're impressed with. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. So the first thing we need to do is to say, God, you've assigned me a place. You've given me certain talents. You've given me certain abilities. You've given me certain gifts. And Lord, it's my job then to discover those and to find my place in your kingdom and to do what you've called me to do. Not to assign myself, not to walk in the banquet and say, if I can't have your seat, I'm not happy. It's up to God, amen? It's up to God. And so it is, we find our place and God shows us that place. Now, the next thing, not only do I want you to notice the person who honors, but I want you to notice the paradox of honors. Go with me again to some human gathering, a feast or some celebration of some sort. And, you know, what are the things that we notice and what are the things that God notices in that feast, you know? Go with me to some big fancy feast where there's going to be celebrities and powerful people as well as ordinary and humble people. There's going to be all this collection of humanity in this great gathering. Now, what happens is, what catches our eye when we look at a group? Usually it's the bling, it's the brawn, it's the bucks, it's the beauty. These things catch our eye. The people with the big house, the big car, the big hair, the big entourage, the limos pull up and the red rugs roll out and all the cameras start to flash and we say, ooh, look at them, aren't they great? What catches our eye at this great banquet of humanity? Again, it's that sort of stuff. It's about the people with the power, the people with the possessions, the people who are popular, the beautiful, the, well, you see, right? This is what catches our eye. But brothers and sisters, what catches God's eye? What impresses God? Do you think God cares about how big your paycheck is? Is he impressed with the size of your cathedral ceilings in the great room of your house? Is God impressed by that sort of stuff? In this great banquet of humanity, who catches God's eye? Who is it? Well, let me read you some text, and then we'll come back to that question. Mark 10 and verse 43. Whoever would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. Whoever is to be the first among you must be the slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Another text, Luke 22. If the greatest among you be like the youngest, the leader like the one who serves. For who do you think is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Don't you think it's the one who sits at table? But I've come among you as one who serves. Are you starting to get the idea? Let's keep reading. Psalm 138 and verse 6. The Lord sits on high, yet he looks down upon the lowly, but the proud he does not know. Who catches God's eye in this great banquet of humanity? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. God has chosen what the world sees as foolish and lowborn, things of the world such as this and people like this to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly of this world and the despised, those who are not, to nullify those who are, so that one may not boast before him. Who catches God's eye? James chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen, my brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God? Luke 13 and verse 30. Many who are last shall be first. Many who are first shall be last. Mother Mary said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 52, for the Lord has cast down the mighty from their thrones, but he's lifted up the lowly. Who catches God's eye in this great banquet of humanity? Think of people all seated at a banquet table. And maybe there's seats of honor up there near the host, and there's other seats arrayed around, and God walks into this banquet, and who catches his eye? Is it the person at the head of the table? Is it those to either side? Is it those at the high end of the table or the low end of the table? I want to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that the ones who catch God's eye aren't even at the table. They're waiting on the table. They're serving the table. Are you praying with me? It's those who serve who catch God's eye. It's those who humble themselves to become the servant, even the slave of all. God's not impressed with limousines. He wants service, humble service. God's not impressed with lots of money and power and prestige and camera bulbs flashing. That doesn't impress God. God walks into the room of humanity, and the ones who catch his eye are the ones who are serving, the servants. You see how different God sees things than we do? We look to the head of the table. We look to those who are being served. We look to those who have the entourage, who take care of their every need, and say, aren't they great? And God looks to the humblest servants of all and says, aren't they great? Aren't they great? So, brothers and sisters, we look so far at this idea that the person who honors in this banquet, that God has a place for all of us. We've looked at the paradox of honors, that what we call great, what we call wonderful and high and mighty and honorable, God doesn't pay much attention to. But what God calls honorable are all those who serve. Now then, With that in mind, let me then ask you to ponder this third section of the homily with me, the prescription for honor. You want to be great? Here's what the Lord says. When you're invited to the banquet, go to the lowest place so that the host may come and say to you, come up higher. If you want the host, remember the banquet now is God's kingdom. God is the host. And if you want to be honored by the host and you want to hear the host say to you, come up higher, then go to the lowest place and just serve. Don't even go and sit at the table. Serve the table. Wait on the table. You want honors? Here's the prescription. Be as one who serves. Your greatness and my greatness has nothing to do with how eloquent we are, nothing to do with how wealthy we are, nothing to do with how beautiful we are. God's not impressed with my good looks. God's impressed when he sees me serving. God's not impressed with my money, my whatever I might have. God's not impressed. God is impressed with you and me when we're humbly serving. You want to be great? Go to the lowest place. Be willing to serve. Now, this should lead to a couple of other conclusions I just want to say. First of all, again, what makes you great? The greatest thing about you is not what the world says, but it's when you're serving. Now, we serve in countless ways. We may even collect a paycheck for what we do. But brothers and sisters, even if you get a paycheck, you're still serving, aren't you? And if you allow even what you do at work to be a service to others, and the first reason you're doing it is to serve, and the second reason is that paycheck, then brothers and sisters, you're serving. All of you right now are serving the kingdom of God. How are you doing it? You're praying. You're worshiping God. Do you know right now that you are changing this world for the better? You are serving the entire world. You're serving this community because I have it on the best of authority that prayer changes things. And when you pray, the world is a better place. You are serving right now. Your humble service of this community, of this nation, of this world makes this world a better place because you are serving God by worshiping and you're serving the community by praying. Brothers and sisters, this is what makes us great. Not all the stuff the world says, but this is what makes us great. Humble service. Do you have a talent and you use it for the good of others? Are you good at cooking and you help out with parish dinners or your own family? You gather your family and you feed and you provide opportunities for fellowship and getting together in the family, then you're serving. Praise God. This is what makes you great. Do you have a talent to sing? Do you have a talent to praise God? Are you a good prayer warrior? Then you're serving. This is what catches God's eye, our humble service. And that we don't do it for a human accolade, but simply because we love others and we want to serve. The greatest thing that you do, the thing that really makes you great, the thing that will have God say to you, my friend, come up higher, is humble service. Now, the second thing that I want to say, the second implication of this is the kind of vision correction that this type of understanding can give us. Because then in our society, who are the greatest? And the answer is those who serve. Now, many people, you not only serve others, but there are many who serve you. And how do you regard them? You know, many years ago, my father said to me, son, he said, look, when you go to a restaurant, I want you to pay a good tip, at least 20%. And the reason is, son, because these waiters and waitresses work hard. It's a tough job. and they're serving you. Honor them, respect them, treat them with kindness and courtesy, because they're serving you, and give them a good tip. How do we think of the people who serve us? Do we hold them in high esteem, or do we think of ourselves as above and them below? Because again, it's completely backwards if we think that we're up here and they're down there because they're serving us. That's not the way God sees it at all. They're up here and we're down there. It's completely reversed with God. The greatest among us are the most humble of our servants, those who do the dirty work, those who do the things that we don't even think about, who are out down there cleaning our sewers and making the water system work and collecting our trash. Do you give a Christmas bonus to the folks who pick up the trash? Do you hold them in high regard and high esteem? Because in God's eyes, they're doing a glorious thing. We want to honor those who ride around in limousines, but God looks at those who ride around in trash trucks, and he's more impressed. Now again, I'm not trying to come up with some class warfare here. We're all able to serve, amen? But what makes us great is that we can serve. And therefore, when those who serve us, whether in the grocery store, checking out our groceries, whether it's at work and they're taking care to unlock the building and keep the heating system going, people who are paving our roads, cleaning our streets, people who are just taking good care of us, our dentist, our anyone who cares for us and serves us, we should hold them in highest regard, because their humble service is what makes them great. You see, so this church is not just a moralism. The Lord says, look, when you hold a banquet, who are the first persons you should think about honoring? And he says, invite the poor, the lowly, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Invite people who can't repay you. Because understand something. The lowly, the humble servants of all, are the ones that God sees first and hold them in high honor. But here's the real vision. God is saying, don't you understand something? If you want to stand a chance to have a high place in my kingdom, then humble yourself and go and serve the lowliest and the poorest that you can find. The humble, the lame, the blind, the crippled, those who could never repay you, who never even know to say thank you. Humble yourselves like that. And I promise you, this is what makes you great. This is what makes you great. That you serve. That you're humble and that you serve. So let's honor those who serve us. But let's realize, whatever our state in life, whether we do have money and power and position, the only thing that really makes us great is that we're a humble servant. And that if we're able to lower ourselves and humble ourselves and go and help the needy and the poor and the blind and the crippled and the lame, those who can't even repay us, then we know this is what God holds in highest regard. The humblest service that we do is the greatest thing that we do. Are you praying with me? It's kind of quiet right now because the Lord is asking us to think of things in a completely different way. What we call great, God's not all that impressed with. What God's impressed with is humble service. And if you and I are great, then the best thing we can do is to humble ourselves and serve those who can't repay us. So I hope you're generous with the poor. I hope you're generous with those who serve and those who take care of you. And I hope for all of us that a gospel like this can make us really think twice about how we see the world and how we size things up. So we talked about three things today: the person who honors, the paradox of honor, and then finally, the prescription for honor, which is that we would humble ourselves and serve the lowliest and the neediest. Well, there's an old couple of spirituals that come to mind, and I'll conclude with these. One of them says, "Sit down, servant. I can't sit down. Sit down, servant. I can't sit down. Sit down, servant. I can't sit down. My soul's so happy, I can't sit down. You see, our humble service is what really should make us happy. Amen? I can't sit down. My soul's so happy, I can't sit down. Another old spiritual says, I keep so busy serving my Jesus, I ain't got time to die. We're joyful and we're happy to serve because this church is what makes us great. Those who serve us are the greatest. And we, when we serve, are also the greatest. You want honor? You gotta sit and serve before you sit. You gotta serve before you sit. And the Lord is gonna say, come up higher if we have engaged in humble service. This is what makes us great. I keep so busy serving my Jesus. I ain't got time to die.
Amen.